Hi everyone, welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. This is Swanik Jaikumar. And, as you know, in this podcast series we try to examine different professions and career paths by talking to experts in those fields. If you're new to this podcast, I encourage you to listen to the introduction episode to get an idea for what this podcast is about. Today's guest is Mr. Hayden Wolf. He is a customer success manager at Bloomfield Robotics.
Hey Swanik, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
So as a high school student, understanding various professions and career paths seems to be a daunting task because there are so many choices available and we have very limited exposure, even if we hear about some careers. So basically, I'd like to take you back just a couple of years to your high school days when you're thinking about your college, your career. And I'm assuming you're probably in a similar situation like me with a bit of confusion and uncertainty in choosing the right path. But after a few years, You've worked in a few companies and now you're getting your MBA. So I'm sure you learned a lot during this journey. So we're just trying to gain that information and post it wherever applicable.
Okay, sure. So it probably helped to give a little bit of context about like my time growing up and like at St. Mark's. I started at St. Mark's as a first grader and like it was a very, very good fit for me. I like doing all kinds of different stuff. Like school was never hard for me. I was really lucky in that way just because like I love being in that environment. I love being around a group of guys or in that type of learning situation. Like I enjoy the competitiveness of it. I enjoyed like, but still the social friendliness of it. So like I loved growing up going to school and like, I feel very comfortable saying that like the school raised me a lot aside from just my family, but I was never like a 9-to-4 student. I was there early. I was there late. I was super involved in everything, even in like middle school. When I got into high school, like I didn't have a lunch period my senior year because I was doing so much stuff. And this wasn't because like I was doing it to get into better schools or like to prove it to myself. Like I just genuinely loved being a part of the community and like loved all the activities that I was able to engage in. So I overextended myself and I really enjoyed it though. So that combined with like, I grew up in a family environment where my parents were always very encouraging of me trying whatever. They're just like, okay, if you want to go do lacrosse, go play lacrosse. If you want to go do this journalism thing, go do the yearbook. Like whatever you want to do, go give it a shot. Like you're in an environment to go do it. And they never pressured me to say like, you need to go to these schools or you need to go be an engineer or you need to focus on this. My dad was and is a real estate guy. He's a commercial tenant rep, very entrepreneurial in kind of what that job function is. But my parents were never like, you should go consider this specific job path. And I was pretty laissez-faire about the college application process too. And part of that was because I had had a lot of success at school, like grades were never a problem. Like I kind of thought it would be pretty easy. And so I applied to 6 schools, like a very wide variety, everything from Texas Tech to Princeton. And I knew I had kind of an idea that like I wanted a well-rounded college experience. And one of the most distinct conversations I remember having with my parents was like early on in the college counseling journey. I think it was maybe you meet with whoever your counselor is once as a sophomore, maybe earlier in junior year, whatever it is. I was like, well, I guess I want to go to engineering schools. Like I was in advanced math and science classes, like those, for lack of a better term, were like my best subjects. So I was like, I guess I'll go be, I don't know, an aerospace engineer or something. But like I was like, planes are cool. Like engineering seems easy to me. Like it seems like I can be competitive. I'll go do that. And I sat down in a college counseling meeting. And I think it was Casey at the time, who I don't think is at St. Mark's anymore, was like, okay, if you want to be an engineer, you should look at all these schools. And there's a lot of schools in like Indiana and Pennsylvania and like that have very good engineering schools, but maybe not the most well-rounded, like for lack of a better word, student life experience. And we walked out of that meeting. My parents were like, okay, when it's a Saturday morning, as a sophomore in college, what do you expect to be doing? I was like, I'd like to be walking to a football game. Like I'd like to be doing something social, doing something like that. And so after that conversation, they're like, okay, well, you've worked clearly very hard in high school. Like think about your college experience as something where you can like get the best experience. So again, I applied to a bunch of different schools, but they were never like, hey, you should go be a business major. You should go do something else. So I applied to be like, I think I applied mostly to engineering schools. I think I applied to like the philosophy program at UVA, but not with any type of specific direction or strategy. And I think part of that was because I was like, I don't know what I want to do yet. I guess I kind of thought that college would be a time to figure that out. But I was never like pushed by college counselors or by my parents or by my peers for that matter to think about it that hard. And when I figured out I want to go to USC, I got in, I applied to six schools. I got in five of them and I was kind of excited about USC from the get-go. I knew that that's where I'd want to go. I actually did not get into the engineering school, which I was kind of surprised about, honestly, and got kind of tossed in the general college and then last minute applied to the business school like over the summer and got in. And that was the encouragement of like my parents and my sister, like, just go to the business school. It's my sister had was at the business school as an undergrad at USC too. And she's like, these kids have the best options coming out of school. They have the easiest time getting jobs. And again, I was kind of like, look, it has not been hard for me school wise. Like, I can't imagine it's going to be hard getting a job. So I was like, great, I'll go do that. Didn't really think that much of it. And one other nugget I'll give you is like in high school, senior year, I had one friend who was like, I don't know what his thought process was, but he was like, I want to go be in the petroleum engineering department at Texas because that's what can give me the highest salary right out of school. And I remember being like very kind of thinking that was a very foreign thing, being like, okay, one, you're adjusting what your college looks like based on exactly how much money you're going to make out of school. And also that like he didn't come from like an energy family or anything else like that. He's just like, this is what I'm gonna go do, which like it's worked out really well for him. He's doing great. But like that thought never really crossed my mind in high school. And then in college, like once I got into the business school, I never really felt like I was under a lot of pressure to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. Initially, when I got to school, I thought, okay, I'd go work in advertising or something in the creative world because like that's kind of what I really liked doing. Like I was editor of the yearbook. I had a decent design sense about me. I was a good photographer and kind of thought that that most naturally translated to the advertising world. And so the way how I thought about it was like, okay, I'll go get an internship in something in the creative world. So I went and worked for a St. Mark's alum after my sophomore year, who runs a photo studio that basically creates very high production value images for like movie studios, for movie posters, that kind of stuff, and worked for him for a summer. And it was a great learning experience, but hated it. I was like, after my sophomore year and got into my junior year, the way I started thinking about recruiting and the way I started thinking about career options were like, okay, I have this general idea about what I'm more interested in from like a business perspective. And it was kind of these three vague areas. One was energy, one was infrastructure, and one was the food system. I was like, if I can get a job in one of these like kind of large, big sectors as an internship, I'll be happy. I'll figure it out. And this is all the while, like at SC, the undergrad business school is great. You get amazing exposure. The classes are great. The students are sharp. But the career coaching is a little narrow. And I think that's changed in the past 10 years or 5 years since I've been there. The only people who recruited really hard and who kind of showed you what the only jobs for business students were like the consultancies. And like people knew that the banks had good jobs too. So you were kind of force fed this idea that like, unless you were a consultant out of school, you're a failure. Or like, unless you were a banker out of school, you're a failure, which just like, isn't the case. Those are just the companies and the hiring orgs that put the most money into it. And it's very ingrained in their strategy. And on the other side of that, most of my friends were going into the real estate world. That just like happened to be the group of guys who I surrounded myself with. Like a lot of the guys in my fraternity were going to do that. A lot of them were from Southern California. And now it's kind of a popular career choice. And I knew that I didn't want to do it because it was just a little bit too close to home because my dad had done it and my sister was doing it. So it's like, okay, if I can do something in infrastructure, energy, or food and ag, or if like I get a consulting job, great. I think the only formal applications I put in for internships were like consultancies, and I did not have the grades in college to make that happen. So I got an internship through a program at SC where they place 10 students at companies in Thailand and Indonesia for internships. And I wound up at a solar energy company in Thailand. It was awesome. I went and lived there by myself. Great learning experience, kind of learn more about the renewable space. And then when I came back to undergrad, or when I came back to school for my senior year, I had a similar thought process. Like, I'll apply for the consultancies. If that doesn't work out, like, I'll try and figure something else out. Applied for the consultancies. Again, nothing came back. I did not have the grades in college to make that happen. And kind of scrambled for a little bit, but I also was super interested in the startup world and the entrepreneurship thing. So I was like, okay, I feel like I can hustle and get a job at a startup. I was also interning at a seafood company this spring of my senior year because I was really interested in the food system. They offered me a job. I didn't really want to take that. It wasn't the right fit. And so I graduated knowing like, okay, I'd come back to Dallas and hustle and find my way into a startup. That's probably a good stopping point to give a little bit of the thought process about like how I thought about things in high school and college. I'm happy to keep going, happy to answer any other questions, but I feel like that's kind of a natural stopping point between like how I thought about it in high school through undergrad.
So you talk about sort of just continue that story and how you joined like Bottle Rocket and Malt and how like a typical day or week looked like for you, and then what inspired you to get an MBA?
Yeah, sure. So I'll jump off from after school. So I had a job offer at Rubicon, turned it down, came back to Dallas and was like, okay, I'll hustle my way into a startup. I'll go do that for a year or so. Cause that was kind of one of the common themes was if you want to do entrepreneurship or startups, like the best way to learn about it is to actually go do it. I kind of learned that part of the curriculum at SC my junior and senior year, but over and over again, I was like, you need to actually go work in a startup if you're going to learn how to do this. And I was like, look, I don't have any obligations. I can like sleep on my parents' couch or in their second bedroom for a few months and go figure it out. So I was scanning AngelList like every day trying to find something, and found this solar energy company based in Dallas called Skyven Technologies. And what it was a group of XTI research scientists had spun out a DLP chip technology that they had patented and applied it to the solar world. So they'd made this solar hardware that uses a bunch of mirrors to reflect sunlight onto a single heating point. And it's great for industrial applications, like if you need to heat water or oil or something. Anyways, a bunch of engineers, they had no business people, found them on AngelList and like sent this guy a cold email and was like, hey, I see you have this open COO position, would love to come work for you. And we had this long back and forth. And he's like, you're not experienced enough, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, just give me a shot. I worked for him for 6 months. It was unpaid, equity only, did not even get my equity to vest. But my main job was helping them actually find a market for their product, because they were like, look, we have this great invention, everyone should want it. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. You should find who your customers are, figure out what the actual need is, and then sell or develop based into that. So I did a lot of market research. I did a little bit of investor outreach, but I kind of developed what their marketing strategy would be. And did that for 6 months. It was great. It was an awesome learning opportunity, but I wasn't getting paid and wanted to move out of my parents' house. So I was kind of doing recruiting in the background the last month or so, and ran into a guy at dinner, actually, who his sons are a few years older than you, who went to St. Mark's. He's a St. Mark's alum, actually. And he was with a business partner of his from China, and they were starting an ed tech startup. And like, I had taught at Curtis Smith's Burning Core program before. Like, I tutored before. I felt really comfortable in the education space. So I was like, yeah, I'll talk to you guys about it. They were just like looking for advice. And I had a few like 2 to 3 hour coffee meetings with them, just being like looking at their product, looking at their strategy. I wrote like a 10-page kind of, not report on it, but like criticism of it. They were like, we want your honest opinion of it. And they were making a web app that was an ACT test prep product. And it was not good. The initial version was awful. And I had kind of done that knowing that if I did a good job providing feedback, then they'd offer me a job. And again, the goal of this was just to get a paying gig at this point. And I was like, okay, I have an idea about what this startup thing is like. I'm going to continue to do that. But I'd like to have my own apartment, but that would be nice. So anyways, got a job with them. They were a Chinese based company, again, that was trying to do ACT test prep in a smarter way. So the whole strategy was, instead of taking practice test after practice test after practice test, you set up a web app, you take one or two diagnostic tests, and you spend 10% of the time that you would taking a full practice test, and you work on the things where there's the highest value for learning and improving your scores. Just like targeted practice, just in an automated way. Simple concept, hard to execute. So they had initially just completely ripped off the UI from the ACT official practice test, and it looked like garbage. I was like, you guys don't know anything about US consumers. You guys have never built digital products before. Like, we got to take this down to the studs. So they had a content team and a development team in China, but they wanted to establish US presence to actually cater to American high school students. So my first job was like building out the team in the US. And I started with kind of what I knew, which was on the design side. So I hired a head designer, and then together we hired a CTO, and then we hired a few other developers. We hired a few people who were actually writing the content, writing the test questions, because we built all of our own test questions. And we rebuilt the product, and it took us about a year, year and a half to do so. We were just starting to relaunch and get into school districts and start selling to families. And all of a sudden the CEO / founder in China just said, like, we're not going fast enough, and fired the entire team. It's like, okay, I guess that's what's happening. So I was out of a job after a year and a half of kind of giving myself to this company, and started looking for gigs for the next 2 months. And it was hard, like trying to come from a no-name startup to get another job. I had had enough experience on the tech side of things to know, okay, this is something where I could build out a skill set. Because I think that's one thing that you really preach to coming out of undergrad is like, well, what's your skill set? What value do you provide to somebody as a 23-year-old, despite the fact that you think you can like go out and do a lot of things and might be confident enough to do things? Like, that's not how the rest of the org is looking at you, or the business world is looking at you. It's like, what can you do for me cheaply and well? And like, I didn't have the finance background. I didn't have the ops background, but I was like, oh, there's this like whole skill set of product management or building software products that could be kind of my skill set. So I thought, okay, I'll go look at software shops or tech companies and see if I can work my way into position based on my startup experience. So after about 2 months of looking around, I landed the job at Bottle Rocket. And I actually initially recruited as an experience designer, which I did not have experience to do. And they wanted me to be a project manager. And what a project manager does at Bottle Rocket is, let me pause. Bottle Rocket makes mobile apps for big consumer brands. Like, that's what they're really, really good at. They make the Southwest Airlines app, Chick-fil-A. They made Chipotle's first app, Hyatt Hotels, like a lot of consumer facing big brands, mobile apps on iPhones and Android devices. They started the company the day after the App Store went open in March 2009. They got bought by a large advertising company, I think 2014 or 2015. So, but they still kind of operate as an independent company. 200 people, like three quarters of them are engineers, designers, people actually making stuff. The other quarter are like leadership, administration, all that other kind of stuff. Anyway, so when Bottle Rocket makes an app, what happens is a company will come to them, say Southwest Airlines will come to them and say like, hey, we want a mobile app. We either want you to make ours better, or we don't have one. We need to figure it out. So from the very start of that conversation all the way through something's actually put on the App Store, a lot of different things have to happen. But when code is actually starting to be written after the designs are made and after like the idea of the app has actually been formed, a team is formed, and it's typically a set of engineers, iOS and Android engineers, creative, so art directors and strategists, people who actually kind of think through what the app should do before it gets turned into designs, quality assurance people, and a project manager. And the project manager's role is to kind of be the center of that whole team and make sure everyone's on the same page, you own the timeline, and you're ultimately responsible for delivering stuff on time. But I think the simplest way to describe what a project manager's job is, they translate. They translate between the dev team on the Bottle Rocket side and the client side. And you're constantly back and forth between both teams, but you're supposed to be the connective tissue that makes everyone be on the same page, that makes development happen. So it's a very communication-driven job. It's a very listening-driven job. You have to be super empathetic, and your main job is to like make it easy for your teammates to actually do their work. So I did that role for about a year. I think I was the project coordinator, maybe. I think that's a more junior title. And then I got promoted to project manager. And all the while, like, Bottle Rocket was never going to be the end gig. Like, this was just a way for me to kind of formalize my quote unquote software training, to actually be around teams that made quality software products, and jump off and to do something that I really wanted to do afterwards. So I excelled in that job as project coordinator and project manager. But after about 2 years, I realized the only kind of reward to doing your job well as a project manager was to like get a slightly larger project, where it's like, there's not really any other skill sets that are being developed. Like, you learn how development works. You learn how to work with engineers and creatives. You learn how to do client facing stuff, which is great. And I got a lot of exposure to different projects. I worked on an airline client. I worked on a hotel client. I worked on a company that distributes pet food. And it was great. Learned a lot, but I wanted to be a little bit more aggressive in my career progression, because I'd kind of shaken off like the stink of the failed startup and had started to I don't know, build a legitimate stature within the company. So I had a few conversations with a new CEO and a few other leaders who were coming in and was like, hey, what other roles are coming up? Or like, I've kind of like done what I needed to on the project management side of things. Like, I don't want to keep doing this. So for the last year that I was at Bottle Rocket, I worked on a team called Business Strategy, and we did three things. One was kind of digital consulting. So if people like really didn't know what their digital strategy was, we would engage with them and like help them think through that. One was helping the actual business of Bottle Rocket figure out what we should be doing. So we had no healthcare clients for a while. And one of my main projects was like figuring out how to engage with hospital systems. So did a bunch of research, was like, here's how we would go to market. Here's how we would actually work with them. Here's what our offering should be, and helped us sign our first big healthcare client, which was a hospital system in Colorado. And then the third piece of our job was business development. So as soon as somebody would come to Bottle Rocket and say, we want an app or we want an website, they would generally have no idea what they were talking about. So our job was to like sit there and be like, okay, so what do you mean? Like, what do you actually want? How does this fit in with the rest of your business? And my job and business strategy was to like take them from that first conversation to a contract, which was like, we want an app. Like, okay, well, how does it work? What are we going to do? What is it going to look like? What does this look in terms of time and cost, all that other kind of stuff, and get a contract signed. And then it gets handed off to a dev team. So that's kind of what my roles at Bottle Rocket were. To take a little bit of a pause, all the while, like at Bottle Rocket, at Questbook, at Skyven, kind of like since I graduated from SC, I knew I wanted to work in the food system. I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but I'd mentioned I'd worked at a seafood company. I'd found a mentor in college who started the first bag salad company in the US back in the 70s. Like, I would go tour the wholesale produce markets by myself at night to like go see what's coming in and like see what is happening in pricing. Like, I kind of just fell in love with the food system in college. I don't know exactly what triggered it, but it was just kind of one of those abysses that you look into and you fall into. But I never had a great idea about how to articulate, like, look, this is exactly what I want to do in the food and ag world, because it's massive. Like, it's thousands of different jobs, thousands of different companies. It can mean a lot of different things. So after graduating, I was always kind of tracking or trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I think the most helpful thing that I would do is like, I just send cold emails to people and be like, Eric Jackson, Pipeline Foods, learned about your company. I work in the digital space. I want to work in food and ag long term. Like, do you have 30 minutes to talk? And I would do that like once a month or pretty actively, just to learn about people's companies and express interest, like maybe see if there's a job, knowing that that was the end goal. Like, I didn't know if I was going to try and make a jump from Bottle Rocket to go do that, or just like apply to a job while I was at Bottle Rocket. But I was like, that's the goal, is to get in the food world. I just need to figure out the best way to do that. So once I'd kind of had my time, or like had that realization about project management at Bottle Rocket, is to like, I can't learn anything else here, was also when I was like, okay, the most efficient way for me to get into the food and ag world is probably going to business school. And had you asked me in undergrad, or even like right out of undergrad, like I even remember in interviews, people were like, interviews for jobs, people were like, well, this seems like you'd go to business school. I'd be like, I already went to business school. Like, I did 4 years of undergrad business school. Like, that's silly. I don't need to go do this again. And I had a pretty arrogant view of it and a pretty myopic view of like what an MBA could do. But it was the most practical way for me to like transition out of the digital space into the food and ag world. So before I go any further about the business school thing or like that decision, are there any other questions about like early career stuff that would be helpful to answer?
If you could, like, looking back now, if you could change anything, is there any step you would have skipped or anything you would have explored more?
Yeah, I mean, like, I would have been more aggressive about recruiting in undergrad. Like, I have a lot of friends who went and worked for banks or who went and worked for big companies who have had just like a much, much easier pathway to where they are than I have. Like, it's been a struggle, like going and working at startups and having to constantly sell yourself at your next opportunity, being unemployed for 3 months, which is, it's really, really hard. And especially like, I struggled a lot personally because I was, like I said, like I was super successful at St. Mark's. Like, I had no problem. And like looking at a lot of my friend, like close friends who were being successful after school, like I got really frustrated because I'm like, look, I know I'm competitive with these guys. Like, I know I'm whatever, like ambitious enough, smart enough, like competent enough to go do what they're doing, but I'm struggling a lot. And that was really, really, really hard. Like, emotional toll, just, you get frustrated all the time. You get angry. And that sucked. Like, it was a great growing experience, but it was not fun. So there are times where I'm like, I could have gotten a job at like my wife said, consultant at PwC, she's had an awesome career. She's been there since undergrad. Like I could have tried to go get a job at Deloitte or Accenture or PwC out of undergrad, or like I could have tried to just like go recruit to go work at a bank. And I'm sure I could have gotten a job had I like taken undergrad on the grade side a little bit more seriously and just like taking recruiting a little bit more seriously. It would have been much easier. But like, I think the experiences that I've had going the route I've gone have been really, really valuable for me. And like knowing what failure in a business setting looks like getting fired, like having to pick yourself up, like those are really, really amazing experiences to have, especially when you're 25 and not 45. So I don't know that I would change any of it, but I definitely could have taken a much less painful path had I done something more conventional, like gone and worked at a bank or like gone and worked at a rotational program. And I think the way for me to have done that would have been putting more emphasis on grades in undergrad and like taking recruiting a little bit more seriously. Cause like, I was always of the impression that you got a job by just like falling into the right place at the right time. I never really thought that like grades in undergrad were going to give you the best opportunity because it's such a crapshoot. And so I didn't take it as seriously as I should have, or as I could have. And that probably hurt me on the recruiting front a little bit, but yeah, like again, wouldn't have traded, although it was painful, would not have traded the experiences I've had so far.
Then can you talk about, like you said, after that, you'd talk about your MBA and sort of that process.
Yeah. So again, like early career, knew I wanted to be in the food and ag world long-term. Experience in tech, knew that like ag tech was probably a natural landing spot for me instead of like going to go work for Pepsi or Cargill or something like that. So I think I mentioned like I was kind of starting to do networking even before I was thinking of applying to business school. 2018 or 2019, I was like, okay, I'll take the GMAT. If it works out, like I'll pursue this seriously, study kind of in the mornings and at lunch while I was at Bottle Rocket, like didn't tell anybody. That was not the type of culture where people go to business school. And studied, took the GMAT in December of 2019, got like a incredibly competitive score and was like, okay, well, let's go do this. So I put in a Hail Mary round 3 application to Stanford, which is probably the hardest program to get into. And like, no one gets it in round 3. So it was much more so to just like go through the motions of like, what is it like to apply to business school? Like, let's go ask people for recommendations. Like, let's write essays, knowing that it was likely going to fail. Did that, did not work out, not expecting it to. And then applied in earnest. That might have been, yeah, that's 2018. So 2019, in that summer, I started to like actually applying to schools. Applied to 4 schools, and knowing if I got into Yale or Stanford, I'd want to go to one of those. And my criteria for schools was I wanted to be at a place where I could kind of go outside of the core MBA curriculum, because I'd done undergrad business school and a lot of what I was going to grad school to do was to work in the food and ag world. So the more experience I could get to whatever that meant on the academic or professional side, I wanted to have. And Stanford and Yale both have a joint degree program between their business schools and their environmental schools, which I was interested in, but didn't know if it would be the best option for me. But that being said, both programs are very liberal in how they let you use your second year of school. So it's like, get all of your core classes and then you can take everything you want to your second year in any part of the university and it does not matter. And Yale worked out, and I was, from every interaction I had with the school, I was really excited about it. The students seemed great. The admin seemed great. Like the school itself was awesome. And having like kind of a more brand name academic institution on your email line or on your resume is really helpful when you're trying to do cold outreach or when you're trying to meet people. It just like opens a lot more doors. And USC is a great school. I love SC, but having just like an Ivy League school on your email handle or on your resume, like it just opens a few more doors, which has been really, really helpful. But I always kind of thought of business school as a very, very expensive rebranding campaign. Like you go to school, people now have like, they're like, oh, you went to business school. Oh, you went to like a fancy business school. Great. You must be more competent than you previously were, which is like, not that true. Like, yes, I've learned some things and I've gained some more experience over the past year and a half. I graduated a week ago Monday, but it's really just like this expensive signaling exercise where it's like, I am committing a year and a half of my life and $180,000. Like I'm doing that to show people that like, I think I'm good enough to be in a leadership position or like be ambitious with my career. And it works. Like people answer your emails. You can get access to a lot more things. The recruiting is amazing. Like the recruiting opportunities are amazing, but when I entered school, I knew that I'd have like a pretty unconventional path, knowing that I wanted to work in food and ag or ag tech, and that's not like the most widely sought after sector or role within the MBA world. It's like, I think 40% of my graduating class are consultants, like working at Bain, McKinsey, BCG, a lot of finance, a lot of big tech. So it's a lot of Google, a lot of Amazon, and then like a good mix of CPG rotational programs, but it's like big conventional companies. So it's that. And also like food and ag just isn't that popular with that crowd. So I knew I was going to have to kind of hustle and do a lot of cold outreach on my own, probably find something non-conventional for an internship. I knew I wanted to do something in specialty crops because like food is just a lot more interesting to me than soybeans or than like commodity corn. So working specialty crops was important to me. Anything that could have some kind of tech lens was important to me too, because that's just an easier story to tell, being like, hey, look, I did product and project management and software. I'm interested in the food world. Like, this is kind of where these two marry. That was an easier story to tell to recruiters and to companies. So I landed an internship at Driscoll's last summer and worked on their supply chain team. And basically what I did was help them make their 75 warehouses around the world more efficient. They receive berries every morning from the fields and consolidate them in these massive refrigerated warehouses, repackage everything, turn them into pallets, put them onto trucks and ship them out to customers. It's an incredibly complex operation. And I think ops and supply chain and logistics is interesting. It was important to me to have a non-tech internship just to see like what that side of the house is like. So I lived in Central California for the summer last year at a buddy from school's mom's house in Carmel Valley, and drove to Watsonville, which is this tiny town like in Central California, about 20 miles in from the coast between Monterey and Santa Cruz. And I was in the office, I was out in the fields, I was in the warehouses, like wearing a full down parka in the middle of Central California, because you're walking through these refrigerated warehouses. And it was great. A lot of why I did that was, again, this whole rebranding exercise, where it's like, if you have Yale on your resume and you want to go work in the food world and you have Driscoll's on your resume and they're the largest berry company in the world, people just assume like you have this experience. I was there for 9 weeks. Like, I barely scratched the surface and I met a lot of people. I learned a lot, but like, again, I was there for 9 weeks, not that long at all, but people hear that and they're like, oh, okay, you know what you're talking about. Or like, yeah, come talk to us. Or like, what do you know about this? So that was important to me, just that I had kind of that brand name on my resume, because I didn't have that on my resume beforehand. Took that internship knowing I probably would not work there. My wife and I didn't want to be in California, and that organization, while amazing, is probably too big for what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a little bit more aggressive early on in my career. So I came back to school for the second year, started recruiting again, and it was a lot of the same. It was like cold outreach, learning about what companies were doing, watching AgFunder and TechCrunch to see who was getting funding, because I kind of knew that I wanted to work at a small org, likely a startup. And I was just doing that all through the fall, and then realized that there was a big ag tech event in March, which was over actually my spring break, and went and just like had a pocket full of business cards and a briefcase and just met as many people as possible and set up as many meetings as possible, mostly with robotics groups, because that's what's getting a lot of funding in ag tech right now. Just how the investment cycle is falling, where a lot of the companies that are in robotics or AI or ML within ag are getting funding, and funding means people who have the money to pay MBA grads. Because there's a lot of time at startups where you can be like very qualified, but if they're not getting funding, they just don't have the money to pay for you. So I met a bunch of people, got probably 5 really good leads at robotics startups, and then a few others. One was at a big spice trader called Olam. One was at HEB, the grocery company in Texas, and recruited throughout the spring, and then got offers from a few, but found this one robotics group out of Pittsburgh, which I was really excited about, could get a decent equity chunk. And my wife's family's from Pittsburgh, so it kind of worked out. And so I'll start working for them in a few weeks. But yeah, that's kind of how my school experience went in terms of job recruiting or thinking about what my next gig would be.
If you could give some sort of advice to a high schooler that wanted to work specifically in like food and agriculture and sort of the career that you've pursued, what would that advice be?
Oh, I'll answer your question generally and then specific to food and ag stuff. My first piece of advice would be like, don't be afraid to try stuff. And don't be afraid to think about an internship or think about a college course or think about a job as you have this hypothesis about what you want to do. And it might be that like, it's not what you want to do. Like, I think I mentioned earlier, I thought I was going to be an aerospace engineer when I was a junior or senior in college and like applied to a bunch of engineering schools. And had I taken that career path, like probably would not have worked out well for me. Like math and science were great for me in high school, but I probably would have gotten into engineering schools in college and like it would not have been a good fit and I would have had to switch majors. Then I thought I wanted to go do creative stuff, like went and worked for a great photo studio and realized like, yeah, I love photography. I love creative stuff, but I don't want to do this as a business. And that cost me a month and a half of an internship. And that's all it took to like have that realization. So one, don't be afraid to try stuff knowing that like that might not be the answer either in high school or during your summers, or like take a part-time job or part-time internship when you're in college and like just see if you want to try it. And I think part of that's in service of like figuring out what you really want to do long-term. I think one of the things that St. Mark's, for lack of a better word, blesses or endows its graduates with is it's like, everyone's incredibly smart and competent and like is a higher caliber employee performer than like 95, 99% of the other kids who like you'll go to college with or like start jobs out of school with. Like you don't realize it when you're at that school, but like the training, the environment that you're put in, like you'll be so competitive and like such a like high performer in college and afterward. Like it's amazing. And I think one of the kind of responsibilities that comes along with that is realizing that if you are doing something that you're actually interested in or that like you want to be doing, you're going to be way better than if you're just like in a generic job. And so I think the sooner you can figure that out, the better. For me, it took until I was like a junior or senior in college to figure out I want to do stuff in the food system. That's great. Like it just took me a little bit longer. But if you figure out earlier and you really know that that's what you want to do and you can test it and like you go try it for a little bit and even on the bad days, you still like it, like go do that, figure that out and take risks to figure that out while you're in college, while you're early in your career and you can afford to do that. I think there's this, I think it's a Warren Buffett quote. He was talking to a group of like bankers or MBA students or something. And Buffett was like asking what they're going to go do. And they're like, oh, I'm gonna go be a banker. And he's like, well, why are you going to do that? And he's like, well, so I can have opportunities to do what I really want to do later. And Warren Buffett's response was like, well, why would you wait? And he's like, well, there's better exit opportunities, yada, yada. He's like, waiting to do what you want to do for later in your career is like waiting for old age to have sex. Like it doesn't make, just if you can figure out what you want to go do it. And you're going to be more successful. You're going to be happier. Like all the other things will trickle down. So figure out what you like really want to do for the rest of your life and don't feel pressured to figure out immediately. But when you do realize it, go all in on it, talk to people, network, learn about the entire industry and take your time to figure out what you really want to do. And I think that this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I think that guys that come out of St. Mark's sort of have an obligation to do that because you're going to provide so much more benefit to society if you're doing what you really want to be doing and what makes you happy than if you just like go get a generic job because it pays a little bit more than your friends right out of school. In terms of the food and ag thing, that's a little bit harder because like Dallas is like a restaurant city and like Pepsi's based there. Dallas is not an ag city or like a food production city. Like no one that we went to school with, like one of my best friends, his dad had a leadership position at Dr. Pepper, but like working at a CPG company is very, very different from working at like a production food company or like a production agriculture company. And part of it's where we live, part of it's a business community. If people are interested in the food and ag world, I'd say like find what resources you can as an undergrad to go do that. Like whether it's taking classes in whatever school, the environment or whatever science department is at your undergrad institution, like learning a little bit about environmental science. If there's any type of food system education you can do as an undergrad, go do it. Find internships at big food companies or at big ag companies. I would maybe not encourage guys who come out of St. Mark's to like go to a land grant school. And land grant schools are like kind of the typical big ag school. So like UC Davis, I think Indiana's one, Cornell's one. In them, like I wouldn't necessarily say like go into an ag program out of school. I think undergrad's a great time to like be exposed to a lot of different things, understand what your interests are, and use the summers in between your years as an undergrad to like really get that experience and figure out what you want to do. The other thing that I found was really helpful, and this is when I was doing like consulting recruiting initially as an undergrad, was get on the alumni directory and look at what people are doing and send St. Mark's alums an email. Like they'll be happy to pick up the phone. They'll be happy to talk. They'll be happy to send an email or two, or just like talk about their job is. And I thought that was really helpful. Not necessarily on the food and ag front. I did the same thing just within a Yale context to the 50 or so people that were doing what I wanted to do. And they were the most helpful. It was like, look, somebody who went and did investing, even if it's in the food and ag world, isn't going to be really helpful to what I want to do, even if they're YOLO. I'm like, I need to go talk to people who are most closely on the path as to what I want to do. And I also had the opinion that was like, I've never really seen somebody and been like, I want their job, or like, I want to be them. I've said like, oh, they've kind of been in the arena. Like, let's go figure out how they figured that out or how they got there. And I just had a lot of those conversations with Yale SOM alums, the business school at Yale, about what their paths were, to kind of get a little bit of a bearing as to what was valuable to them and what wasn't valuable to them. And I think just do the same thing when you're in college, when you have a little bit more exposure to what you think you want to do with St. Mark's alums, because they're probably going to be a little bit more responsive than general, wherever you go to undergrad, like whoever that alumni base is, and they'll be helpful.
As a follow-up question on the question I asked, you said there was some information that you gained from talking to people that have like already done your sort of specific career from Yale. What are some of the key takeaways you've had from that, like specifically on the food and agriculture track?
Yeah, brand names are important. Like if you go, I was deciding between working for a startup and working for Driscoll's last summer, and three or four of the people I talked to were just like, it's 8 weeks, just go work for Driscoll's. And even if it sucks, having that on your resume will be worth it. People will listen to you. People will take your phone call. People will like pick up your resume when you're applying to jobs. That was helpful. And the food and ag world is very relationship driven. It's super old school. It's run by a lot of families, actually. So the way that the ag world operates is not similar to like how tech operates. Anyway, so like brand names are important. Having experience on the production side of things, like in field, is really important. So I wasn't like in the fields every day with production teams, but I was in the warehouses. I visited a lot of strawberry and blueberry, not blueberry, I visited a lot of strawberry and raspberry fields last summer. And like being able to say that and being able to like tell stories about that as you're continuing to recruit is important. And I think that's true of any career. It's like the more on the ground experience you have, or you can say you've been exposed to, is important. Like if you can say like, I can relate to all these different jobs, or I've worked with people in all these different types of roles, it makes you more valuable. So I'd say those were the two things where it's like, get boots on the ground experience and brand names matter, at least within the ag recruiting that I was doing out of business school.
So my second to last question, personally, how would you define success in this sort of field? And what steps do you see like you taking in the future to achieve that?
I think that definition will change every few years for me personally. It's like over the next 3 years, I'm working the 15th employee at an early-ish stage startup. And success for me is like learning what it's like to actually grow a successful, well-funded startup so that way I can go do it on my own the next time. And if we were to have this conversation 3 years from now, I'd be like, well, hopefully we can like get this off the ground and like get it funded and maybe sell it or IPO it or something like that. I think generally, career speaking, like being able to do something that you actually enjoy doing is, I think, incredibly important. And if you can say that you're doing that and you're able to sustain yourself or like do whatever you need to financially, like that's what I would deem as success. Like if you can actually derive a real sense of happiness or joy or purpose from your job, like that's an amazing gift. That if you can do that and satisfy whatever other obligations you have, that's a win. So yeah, I mean, that would be my goal, is to be able to have a career in the food and ag industry and do something that actually provides some meaningful benefit to society and like hopefully make a decent amount of money along the way would be nice too. But yeah, I think if you can derive a sense of purpose and happiness and like societal benefit from your job and also satisfy whatever other obligations you have to your family, to your peers, to your community, that's how I would define success from a professional standpoint.
And in terms of like studies and as well as like gaining experience for certain professions, like let's say probably a doctor, like the path is very clear, very set on like what you have to do to become a doctor. But with sort of the business aspect, there's a wide variety of paths you could take to lead to any sort of career. So what are, if you could sum up like the different paths you could take as brief as a way as possible, what are the different routes that could lead to this profession?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of two main points here. It's like, if you go and work for a well-known company, that gives you a huge boost in whatever your next job is. It just like gives you, because they will associate you with the general brand of the organization for which you've worked. Like And they'll probably rely, they'll probably base whatever judgment they're going to make on you as they're reading your resume, as they're interacting with you in general or at the beginning, based on what their knowledge of the organization to which you belonged before you had that conversation. So it's like, you go work for a big company, like that has a lot of benefits. People assume that like you are at a base level of training or competency, which is great. I think the opposite side of that is, which is a path that I've kind of had to take, is like have the experiences or create the experiences where you can tell the right story about who you are, what you can do, what you've been exposed to. So it's like, it doesn't matter that I worked for a no-name startup. Like I can tell the story about what that was like, what those experiences were like, how I interacted with people, what we built, those things. And it's harder and it takes a lot more practice to be able to do that and stack it up against somebody who like worked for a big company that like is generally well known. But if you can do, if you know which of those camps you fall into, just play that game really well. Like if you're going to play the brand game really well and like understand how to climb, understand how to build the pieces of your resume that you need to, and go do that. If you're on the narrative game and if you're on the like experience game, become a good storyteller, try and be on the front lines as much as possible and know how to hustle, like know how to take risks, know how to operate when there are not a lot of playbooks at your fingertips or rules at your fingertips, and get comfortable with failure and get comfortable with risks because they're going to happen, and know how to pick yourself up and go to the next thing. So, I mean, there are, like you said, there are tons of different ways. I think kind of a fail safe way is to go work for a big company and get trained, for lack of a better word, and have that on your resume. You can also go take risks and try and build a story a better way. I did the latter. And like I said earlier, it's been harder at certain times than others, but yeah, I mean, the other side too, is it's like timing is a big issue with recruiting, with opportunities. So it's like, you could be the best candidate in the world and somebody's not hiring at that time, or you could just like bump into somebody at a bar or at a coffee shop and like have a conversation. And then they're like, look, we're hiring, or this is what we need. And being aware of opportunities at all times and being hunting for opportunities at all times is going to be really valuable too. So don't ever expect that someone's going to want to like come out and seek you out and recruit you as a 22-year-old or as a 25-year-old or as a 35-year-old. Like, you have to make your own luck. You have to make your own opportunities. And if you don't forget that, and if you have that mentality kind of burned into your head, something will work out. There is no like clean path in a lot of the business world. You kind of have to just be open and flexible, and something will work out.
Do you have any final comments before we wrap up the interview?
You can find a lot of value in having a balanced college experience. Like, invest as much time in the people around you as you do in what you're doing personally. And I think that will pay off huge, huge, huge benefits. Like, I'm still incredibly close with a lot of my St. Mark's buddies because of the time we spent together and like how committed we were to each other and like level of loyalty. And I think the same is true of a lot of people and a lot of the relationships I built in undergrad, where it's like, if you invest the time in the people around you in high school, in college, and work to some degree, I think that's the most valuable thing you can do with your time. So even as you're thinking about what you want to do professionally or in the next step of your life, like, don't forget the people around you, family, friends, colleagues, classmates, because those are the people who you're going to be spending a lot of time with. Those are the people who are going to be supporting you when you're going to be having hard times. And those are people who you're going to have the most fun with and like just drive the most joy with. So a minute spent with the people around you or thinking about the people around you is probably the most valuable thing you can do.
All right. Thank you for taking time to address these questions. Thank you.
It's awesome. And thanks for the work you're doing for your classmates and the future generations of people who will be job seekers soon. That's I'm sure that will be greatly valuable. I would have liked to have had something like that when I was in high school. So good luck with all of it. And again, just let me know if you need anything else from me.
Sure will. Thank you.
See you, man. Bye.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Spotify, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Also, please visit pathfinder101.com for more career-related information not included in the podcast. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share it with your friends and colleagues. Thanks so much for your time, and have a great rest of your day.